serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.
As for
me and my house,
we will serve
the Lord.
As for
me and my house,
we will
serve the Lord.
I don't know that I could be more proud of our young people. It would be hard to be more proud of them. I was noticing as they were up here earlier singing, what a great looking bunch of young ladies, fine looking young men. And what a blessing they are. They really are. I might say something about Rod. Rod Washington is a student at Oklahoma Christian who's been working with them and giving us some help and some instruction. Rod is a sprinter and was running for Abilene Christian the last couple of years, and I believe medaled 5 times at the Lone Star Conference track championship this past spring. And when I say he's a sprinter, I mean he is a serious sprinter. And he has been volunteering his time and helping with our young people, and we are blessed, Rod, by having you come and share with us. Let me mention that coming up 1 week from tonight is our church talent show and fellowship together. I want to tell you, you don't want to miss this deal. We've got some serious talent, and then we've got some that isn't so serious. One of the entries, I believe, is called Dr. White and the Staph Infection, and you probably won't want to miss that, I promise you. Rory and Mary Ann do a great job putting together our talent show, and we have got so much talent here, and we're grateful that we get to share a time together. Next Sunday night at 5:30, we're going to meet together in Hardeman Auditorium out on the OC campus and have a devotional time together, and then we're going to eat, and then our talent show will be shared together. Now, for those of you who brought those little old bitty plates of 3 or 4 things last year, listen, I didn't get near enough food last year. You need to do better. Bring a lot of food, a lot of finger foods, and we'll share it together and gain a little more weight and enjoy life together next Sunday night at our talent show. If you have your Bibles, will you open them, please, to 2 places in the Gospels. First, Matthew chapters 1 and 2. And put a marker there, and then turn to Luke chapters 1 and 2. Matthew 1 and 2, and Luke 1 and 2. We'll be turning back and forth, looking at these 4 chapters together this morning. You can't go anywhere without noticing that it is Christmas time. And every time we approach this time of year, I'm always hearing cute little stories about Christmas. This little guy was telling his dad he wanted a watch for Christmas. In fact, he'd been telling him about 5-6 times a day for weeks that he wanted a watch for Christmas. He had told his dad he wanted a watch so many times that his dad finally absolutely slicked of all of that attention about watches, told him, he said, "Son, if you say one more word about a watch, you're not getting that for Christmas." So the little guy just shut up for several days. Christmas Eve, it was their tradition as a family to eat together, and they would quote their favorite scripture, and then have a prayer together, and then eat their Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve. And so as they were seated around the table, each one sharing their favorite scripture, it came to the little guy who hadn't said a word about the watch in weeks. And finally he says, "My favorite scripture is Mark 13:37, where Jesus said, 'As I say to you, so I say to everyone, watch.'" And then, of course, there are letters to Santa. Came across a couple this week. "Dear Santa, I didn't get anything good for Christmas last year. In fact, I didn't get anything good the year before either. This is your last chance." Signed, Albert. "Dear Santa, there are 3 boys at our house. Jeffrey is 2, David is 4, Norman is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good some of the time. Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman." It's too bad we can't all be Norman. It's too bad that we can't be good all the time. And that's why God had to send His Son, because we cannot be good all the time. Because we are a people in desperate need of forgiveness and in need of a Savior, God came to this earth. The prophet prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7 that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son, and they would call him Emmanuel, God with us. And it's that time of year when the world stops and they focus on that event of the incarnation. That's a great big word that describes God becoming a man, God becoming a human being. It's that time of year when everyone stops and focuses for just a while on what it means that God came. And what an appropriate time for us to remind ourselves about those events. And I guess you can't examine the story and think about the story for very long until the question comes, why did God choose the characters that He chose to be a part of those events? As you start looking at the characters involved in the birth events surrounding Jesus' birth, you can't help but be noticed, can't help but be impressed by the diversity and the variety of these people. There was Mary, 14, 15 years of age, a Jewess, a virgin from Nazareth. And then there was Joseph, scholars believe also a young man probably in his late teens, a carpenter in Nazareth. And shepherds, they were considered by their contemporaries as the low class. Why would God choose shepherds? And then the Magi, those mysterious men from the East who traveled so far to come and see the Christ child. Why would God choose these people? Like a great conductor who brings together great musicians from different parts of the country to play a beautiful piece of music, so God is drawing these diverse and different people into the scenario to play a part in the most significant event in human history, God becoming a man. Why would He choose these people? I believe that He chose them because He knew what their response would be to His call. I want you to look with me first at Mary and her story told in Luke 1. Have you ever stopped for just a minute to consider what Mary's situation was when she learns from the angel Gabriel that she's with child? Have you ever stopped to think just a few moments what would have been like for Mary to sit across the coffee table with her mother and dad and tell them, "I am pregnant, but I've never known a man"? Can you imagine what that would have been like? And of course, then to share that with her fiancé, Joseph. Joseph, the Bible implies, didn't believe her story any more than you or I would have believed it. And then there's the talk that's going to go around town. A teenager pregnant out of wedlock. And the things that would have been said about her and her child. And that was just the beginning of her trouble. How about making a trip, 3 to 5 day trip, either on foot or on the back of a donkey, all the way to Bethlehem when you're 9 months pregnant? Well, I see these precious ladies around here who get in that 9th month, and I don't think that'd be a very good plan to get on a donkey and ride that distance. And yet Mary did that. Or walked. And then there's no room in the inn. And there's no hospital to deliver your child. In fact, your son is born in a stable. The Bible says about Mary that when Gabriel came and he said, you're going to be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. And Mary said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never known a man. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy One will be born. Will be called the Son of God. Now listen to Mary's response. Verse 38 of Luke 1. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I think Mary was chosen because God knew her response was going to be submission. And that seems to be the word that sums up her response to the entire scenario. Submission. God, may it be to me as you have said. No matter what my parents believe, no matter that Joseph might abandon me, no matter what the talk is going to be accusing me of sexual immorality in town, no matter about trips to Bethlehem when I'm 9 months pregnant, and no matter that there's no room in the inn, and no matter that my son is going to be born in a stable, whatever you want, God, that's what I want. Because I'm your servant, and my greatest desire is what you desire. Submission. Folks, do you know God is still looking for people of submission? Can I say to you, there will be no salvation apart from submission. Until it is in our hearts, in our spirits, the desire that my greatest desire is to do what God desires, there will be no salvation. Praying for a friend this morning. He and I couldn't be more different. To use my daddy's expression about him, he is a piece of work. We couldn't be more different, but I really like him. He was having a sore throat a couple of weeks ago. Chronic sore throat. Just didn't seem to go away. And so he went to the doctor hoping for some antibiotics and a quick trip home. The doctor examined him, sent him to a specialist. They started running some tests. Friday, day before yesterday, they did surgery on him. They took out part of his esophagus and part of his stomach, and during the surgery, they found also that he has it in the liver. And at this point, the doctor's decision is there will be no further treatment, and I assume that means it is so far progressed. There's nothing more they can do. This man's been a friend of mine for several years, and I was praying for him this morning because, as I've told you before, about the little girl that said to her daddy, you know, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. His position in life concerning the things of God is he's been standing up on the inside. And my prayer is that somehow in this experience, he might learn submission. And folks, I need to say to you that unless God finds in you a heart, a spirit of submission, there will be no salvation. God chose Mary because in her heart and spirit it was, I have the greatest desire to do what you desire, God. Submission. In Joseph, if you'll turn back to Matthew 1, Joseph. Heard a cute story about Joseph this past week. A Christmas play at school. The little guy that's playing Joseph comes in to the little guy that's playing the innkeeper and he says, I need a room. And the little guy playing the innkeeper says, I'm sorry, we don't have any rooms. They're all full. He says, you don't understand. I have to have a room for my wife. And the innkeeper says, you don't understand either. We don't have any rooms. He says, but my wife is pregnant. And the little guy playing the innkeeper says, well, that's not my fault. And the little guy playing Joseph turns to him and he says, but it's not my fault either. And that is a cute story, but people, that is the truth of the matter. When Mary came with her story that the angel had come, though it doesn't state it specifically, it implies Joseph didn't believe the story. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 19 of Matthew, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Though it doesn't state it, it implies it broke Joseph's heart. The news that he received from the one to whom he was betrothed, that she was with child, and he knew it wasn't his. And so unlike so many men that we encounter today, whose desire it is, when hurt, to hurt back, Joseph did not have that intention. According to law, he might could have had her stoned to death. But the Bible says because Joseph was a righteous man and he didn't desire to hurt her anymore, he was going to put her away quietly. It's at that point God intervenes with a dream. And the angel speaks to Joseph, and he says that what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus because he'll save their people from their sins. God chose Joseph, I believe, because of what it says in verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Mary's response was submission. Joseph's response was cooperation. God, if this is your plan, then I want to cooperate with you in that. Whatever your desire is for me, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to be a tool in your hand to help, to assist in this plan of yours. I thought about Joseph the night that Jesus was delivered in that stable. I thought about him some, and I wondered what he was doing, you know, as he's pacing back and forth out in front of that stable. And some of his thoughts, I wondered, pictured him sometimes maybe talking out loud to God, saying, God, I just didn't think it was going to be like this. I thought there were going to be, you know, grandmothers around. God, you know, and friends and relatives. When the baby was born, I thought that maybe, you know, when the first cry of the infant came, everyone would celebrate. And when the midwife gave me that child, I thought all of the community would celebrate. God, but out here, not this place, not like this, in a stable, God, who's going to celebrate with us here? Cattle? God, that's my son in there. Did it again, didn't I? He isn't my son. He's your son. And this isn't my plan, it's your plan. God, whatever you want, I'll cooperate. I wonder if that's your spirit and mine. If we're willing to cooperate with God and His plan. Rick Warren tells about being in a church not too long ago. It had a predominantly black membership, and they came up and sang a song that he had never heard before. It had the ring and the feel of an old-time spiritual, but it only had three words in the whole song. And the words were, "Yes, Lord, yes." And he said they started singing it very, very quietly. And then as they progressed, it got louder and louder until they were almost shouting it at the end. And the last time they sang, "Yes, Lord, yes," he said the sound was reverberating all through the auditorium. And he said with the sound still reverberating, the preacher went to the microphone and said, "Lord, you have heard our answer. Now just tell us what you want us to do." Folks, you see, that's the cooperation God needs to find in you and me. That's what he found in Joseph. "Joseph, this is my plan. Joseph, you're a part of my plan. Joseph, I want you to cooperate with my plan." And Joseph says, "I'm willing to do what you want me to do." And now back to Luke 2 for a moment. The shepherds. Why the shepherds? As Mary's attitude was submission and Joseph's was cooperation, I think he chose the shepherds because their attitude was going to be declaration and celebration. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 8 of Luke, that there were shepherds out in the fields nearby keeping watch over their flocks. Again, these were considered by the contemporaries as the lower crust, the down and out, the people that they didn't have respect for. Normally, shepherds weren't very educated. They stunk. They smelled like sheep. They weren't welcome in the synagogues or in the temples. And God could have invited princes and kings to come and see his newborn child. But he chose shepherds. Why shepherds? I think because of what is said beginning at verse 16. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, listen, they spread the word concerning what they'd been told them about this child. Declaration. I mean, the angel had said, "You go and you find this sign. There'll be a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And they went and found it exactly as it had been told. And when they'd seen it, they went out and told everyone that would listen. The Christ child of God. Folks, if there is anything we need in 1993, yea, 94, it is the people who declare that the King's come. I mean, isn't it time that we stop being silent about what we've seen and heard in Christ Jesus? They declared it. And then they celebrated it. Look at verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They not only declared that the King had come, they celebrated it by glorifying and praising God. There are more churches, folks, that are dead and dying and cold. Where do you go to church? 12th and Frigidaire? You know, 30th and Icebox? And you know what's missing in most dead, dying churches' culture? It is celebration. The celebration that warms the spirit and the heart that God has come. Listen, we've got so much to celebrate. Our God has come. He has come. Sin has been conquered. The grave has been overcome. Jesus is on the throne reigning and is coming again. Amen. We have got something to celebrate. Did you come here this morning to celebrate the good news that the King has come? Does he find in your heart and in mind that spirit of declaration and celebration about the arrival of the King? And back over to Matthew 2, the Magi. Mary's attitude, submission, Joseph's cooperation, the shepherds' celebration and declaration. I want you to notice the Magi. Let me clear up a couple of myths about the Magi. In every nativity scene that you will see, malls and in front yards, you will see a number of wise men there. How many are pictured? Bible never says there are three wise men. Might have been two, might have been 20. People have just assumed there were three because there are three gifts mentioned. Second myth about the wise men, they didn't show up the night he was born. If you look at the text of Matthew, you're going to find that when they showed up, Jesus had already been alive, born a baby. He'd already been here a year and a half, maybe as long as 2 years. Because when Herod does his inquiry, his careful inquiry about the birth of the king from the Magi, he has all of the babies, male children in Bethlehem and surrounding areas killed that are how old? 2 years old. And it also says in the midst of the story in verse 11 that when they came to the house, he's not in the stable, he's in the house. Now let's talk about these guys a minute. Magi, wise men. They're astrologers from the east that traveled hundreds of miles because they'd seen a star in the heavens that announced the king had been born. And they followed that star all of those hundreds of miles and came to the place where the child was. And the Bible says, verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they, listen, bowed down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense or incense, and myrrh. Their response, dedication. The dedication that would bring them hundreds of miles, risking their own lives and their treasure which they bore, to come and worship the king and give him the best they had. Does God find that trait, that quality in your heart and spirit? Dedication. Are you willing to do what these men did? To bow down and worship him and out of your own treasure give him the best that you've got, because that's what they did. Dedication. Their worship included the offering of their gifts and their valuables. Does your worship include that? You see, God still looks for a people. Those whose attitude will be submission. Those whose attitude will be cooperation. Those whose attitude and spirit will be declaration and celebration. And those who come saying, we will give you the best of our dedication. You see, that's what the story of these events tell to me about these characters. And we ought to be looking within and examining ourselves to say, does God find those qualities in us? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are so overwhelmed at the thought that you have come to the earth, that in the presence of your Son, Jesus, you have come to walk a mile in our moccasins. That you know what we feel and experience, the temptations we face. And Father, we're so thankful for these people that you called into the events. Thank you for Mary's submission and Joseph's cooperation. For the celebration and the declaration of the shepherds. For the dedication of the Magi who came from so far to offer their gifts. God, it's our prayer that you might help us possess those qualities of heart even now. Father, help those of us whose feet are firmly planted and fists are clenched, saying, I'll do it my way. Help us to submit this morning. Help us to understand how desperately we need a Savior. We ask it in His name. This morning, he calls. He waits. We stand ready to minister, to encourage, to pray, to do what we can to help and assist you. As he calls this one who has come, Emmanuel, Would you come expressing by the very nature of your life that these qualities are going to be present in your life as well? Would you come right now while we stand and sing?